Helene here with Eyes on the Game. Happy Wednesday. Another Wednesday at another location. Right now, I'm currently in Boston covering UFC Boston. That fight night takes place this Friday, not Saturday, but it'll be headlined by Dominic Reyes and former UFC middleweight champion turned light heavyweight. He makes his light heavyweight debut, Chris Weidman. This takes place on Friday with the co-main event, which was initially going to be in Mexico City, Jeremy Stephens versus Yair Rodriguez. That fight should be fun, and obviously a lot of tension between the two of them because of what happened just a few weeks ago in Mexico City. So they got that rescheduled pretty quickly, and that'll go down this weekend. Later on in the show, I got a chance to talk to them, so I'll be playing those interviews with the main event and co-main event later on in the show. Now I'm in Boston, and then last week I was in Tokyo for ONE Championship, their 100th event, also known as their Century event. So that was the first time I covered two events in one day. I've never done that before. It was like taking two, for example, Saturday night fight or two Friday night fights, like two of them, or having a Friday and a Saturday night fight, but putting it in one day. So I literally was at the arena for 16 hours, and I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, it took me over 16 hours to even finish everything, but it started in the morning with that first card, and the first event had their own main event, and then it almost overlapped, but there wasn't any break as the prelims for the second card began right away, right after the main event of the first whole event wrapped up. So then the second event wrapped up or continued and then wrapped up about midnight. Ong Long Song, he beat Brandon Vera to retain his ONE Championship light heavyweight title. Brandon Vera, who is the ONE heavyweight champion, was looking to try to become a two-division world champion, but unfortunately, it did not happen last Saturday. But it was such a great fight, so I did talk to Ong La, which I'll be playing that interview later on in the show as well. And then also Angela Lee, she defeated Xiong Jinglan. And I'll play her interview after as well. So I got a chance to talk to her. And then Demetrius Johnson, he won the Flyweight World Grand Prix. So he'll be fighting for the Flyweight World Championship title coming up. So that'll be another good one. Demetrius Johnson, one of, if not the best pound for pound MMA fighter of all time. So he adds another belt, another title to his resume. So it was a great night of fights in Tokyo. And yes, the week before I was in Australia. I did tell you a few weeks ago that I would have a lot of traveling coming up. So it has been a whirlwind. I'm grateful for everything, but I think my stomach and just kind of getting used to the different time zones, like, and why I say my stomach is because it's been so used to eating at a certain time, and then you flip everything and then you flip it back, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But I'm always kind of confused, like, okay, what day is it? Okay, today's Wednesday, because I thought it was Tuesday, but then we flew on Monday, but that was technically kind of like a Sunday, landed on Monday. So yeah, so just kind of adjusting to everything, as you can tell, and as you can probably hear, I know I'm struggling a bit, and just to trying to adjust back to everything. But now, like I said, back on the East Coast for UFC Boston, And then I'll be back in Vegas for a few weeks and then heading to UFC 244, Madison Square Garden, Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz for the BMF title, baddest mother effer. Yes, they are making that title. Can't wait to see how that belt looks like. I'm sure it'll be really cool. But that'll go down in New York first week of November, as well as Kovalev versus Canelo. That'll go down as well. Same weekend. So a lot of big fights coming up to round up the year. And of course, the mega fight in Las Vegas. Three titles. UFC 245, December 14th, T-Mobile Arena. Alex Volkanovski, Max Holloway, and Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington, Amanda Nunes, Jermaine Duranami. So three title fights in Las Vegas to kind of round up 2019. It's crazy to think that it's almost 2020. Like, it's almost a new decade, which is so crazy to think how fast time has flown. I'm like, what did I do 10 years ago, right? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to think about that because I'm like, wow, I was only 18. That's crazy. I'm already 28. Time, yeah, definitely flies. But I appreciate your continued support. I'm going to get more interviews up, as well as the Schmo. He did talk to Greg Hardy, who fights on Friday, as well as Macy Barber, only 21 years old, undefeated. We'll be fighting Jillian Robertson on Friday as well. Make sure you stay tuned. So those interviews will be played later on in the show. Make sure you stay tuned. You can always tweet me at Helene Sports. Check out lvsportsnetwork.com. I appreciate your continued support and following along. Like I said, I mean, tweet me, let me know what you think, but we're going to head to a quick break. When we get back, we'll be hearing from Demetrius Johnson, Ong La Song, and Angela Lee from ONE Championship, which took place in Tokyo for the ONE Century event. So stay tuned. Like I said, tweet me at Helene Sports. Check out lvsportsnetwork.com if you haven't bookmarked already. And we'll be right back after these messages. Helene here with Eyes on the Game, being joined by the one and only Mr. Demetrius Johnson. Now, congratulations, new belt. How does it feel?
It feels great. Like I said, this is one that I never thought I'd be able to capture, but I did, and it's beautiful.
Yes, the Grand Prix belt. Now, did anything surprise you in that fight with Danny that you were like, you know what, I didn't expect this?
Not really, but I was just shocked at how strong he was of, like, just holding me down in certain positions. But I knew he was going to be explosive. I knew he was going to be hard to submit. I knew he was going to be hard to hold down. But that's all the things we saw in video, and we were well prepared for that.
Now, it looked like you got him in a Kimura. How close did you feel to getting that submission?
I think if the cage wasn't there, I think I would have finished it because I wasn't able to step over his head and I wasn't able to get good leverage to ratchet it up to, yeah, you know, blow the shoulder out of its socket. So much pressure was on the arm. But, you know, that's one of the things that I love to do after my fights is not, you know, sit there and celebrate the fight itself, but sit there and break down what we did very well and what was successful about the fight.
Now, have you adjusted to not having Matt Hume in your corner?
I think this time, I think we're getting a good groove of it, you know. But, you know, the beautiful thing is right after the fight, you know, I went to Matt, okay, so coach me, what did I do wrong? And he goes, dude, relax, enjoy this. Like, you're so focused on, like, what'd you do right, what'd you do wrong? Don't worry about it, man. Like, it was an amazing performance. You were well prepared. You look great. This is the best performance you did out of those last two fights you did. And I was like, okay, all right, we'll work when we get back home.
Yes. And lastly, obviously, you've accomplished so much in so many regards. You're one of, if not the top MMA fighter of all time. When you reflect on your career, is there a certain moment that stands out to you the most or your favorite?
You know, just the memories of me spending time with my teammates, traveling, winning, losing, just all of the whole combination of just the journey of a professional athlete and a martial artist.
Winnie here with Eyes on the Game here in Tokyo for One Century, being joined by the and still atomweight champion, Miss Angela Lee. Now, first off, great fight, amazing performance, and I know you credited your corner for that fifth round and that finish. What did they tell you going into that fifth round?
You know what? They said, hey, you're doing great. You're doing exactly what we trained to do. Stick to the game plan. You know, and yeah, you know, in that round, I got rocked and I wasn't all there. And I looked over to my corner and I could hear what Christian, my brother, and my dad was saying to me, and they're coaching me step by step. Hey, you're on the back. Good. Don't ride too high. Just wait for it. Be patient. Look for the choke. And, you know, I just followed their coaching and their advice.
Yes. And obviously, I mean, came out with a victory, submission victory in the fifth round. Obviously, you dug very deep in there. But did anything surprise you about her in this rematch?
Actually, no. There were no surprises because I knew she was going to be tough. And actually, the first time, I might have overlooked her a little bit. You know, I was a little bit too confident going into it. I didn't give her the credit that she deserved. And this time, I knew she was going to be a tough girl to finish. And, you know, I was trying to finish the fight in the first or second round, but it wasn't there, you know. And but I saw the finish was presented itself to me in the fifth round, and I went for it.
Now, I know you said you want that strawweight title. You want to become two-division world champion. So does that motivate you more, kind of winning that strawweight belt as well, or avenging the loss to her?
You know what? This fight, for me, was all about defending my title. Yeah. Actually, like, people were trying to build it up, saying, oh, there's this rivalry between them, and it's a redemption fight. But for me, you know, she's an amazing champion, and I want to challenge myself with the best. And I had to defend my title tonight, and now I'm a 5-time world champion. So it feels amazing.
Yes, and where would you like to either defend it or fight for that strawweight belt?
You know what? I really want to get my hands on that second belt. You know, I love my atomweight belt, but the strawweight division is going to be next on my list.
Now, I noticed something you said in the post-fight press conference. You said that from the losses, you were kind of struggling or maybe having some doubts, right? So what was that thing that helped you kind of regain that confidence and that focus?
You know what? Crazy story, but actually, in the summer, I was able to take a small group of kids from my gym, United MMA in Hawaii, and we brought them all the way to Europe to compete in an amateur, you know, IMMAF World's Pancration Tournament. And they fought kids from all around the world, and to see them go out, chase their dreams, you know, be fearless and come out with the victory reminded me of a young Angela, you know, reminded me of what I used to do growing up. And that kind of was like, if these kids can go out there and chase their dreams and do it, like, why can't I? Yeah. And so that's really what pushed me. So I got to give a big shout out to all my kids at United MMA. They're really a big inspiration to me.
Yes, absolutely. And it's great to see that kids can also kind of teach us about ourselves and inspire us too, right?
Definitely, definitely. You know, I was lost, and then they gave me that fire that I needed to step in the cage again. And obviously, I owe this victory to them. So I can't wait to go back home.
I was sitting behind Shang's corner, and I heard them say in that fifth round, is that suplex legal or illegal? What do you make of, you know, maybe their comments or remarks?
You know what? My takedown was 100% legal. I lifted her up and I dumped her on her front side, on her face. And, you know, I made sure that I didn't go over my shoulder and she didn't land in the back of her head. So, you know, we're very attentive to the rules, and we want to play clean and play fair in one championship. So, yeah.
Yes. And lastly, what would you like to tell all your fans?
I just want to say thank you guys so much. I hope you enjoyed the show. That's only part one of One Century, so you got to stay tuned for part two.
And you'll be there tonight?
I will definitely be in attendance cheering everyone on.
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here in Tokyo, being joined by the champ, Mr. Ong La. Now, congratulations. Amazing fight. Great second round stoppage victory. First off, how did it feel in there?
It felt great, you know. It felt like I was just here, you know, in March. So it feels great. You know, I'm getting in my groove, and I'm becoming a better competitor. So I'm excited for the future for sure.
Now, we certainly did see that in there tonight. But I know that you guys mentioned you guys are good friends. And like Brandon said the other day, hashtag friends forever. So what did you tell him after the win?
Just thank him. You know, I thank him for a great battle. You know, this is what I love to do. This is what my passion is. So I just thank him for being in the circle with me. So.
Now, in that post-fight press conference, Chatry, you did mention a rematch. Does that interest you at all?
A rematch against Brendan?
Yeah.
At heavyweight?
That was my next question. I mean, would that move interest you to possibly become triple champ?
It would, but I think my weight is better suited. If you look at us, you know, in the fight, you see I was kind of like a little chunky, and he was like much bigger than me. I think it's middleweight's better suited for me.
But we have seen some fighters like Anthony Johnson fight in four weight classes, Jared Cannonier in three.
Yeah, Anthony Johnson is one of my teammates too. Yeah. So, you know, but for me, middleweight right now is the better weight class because of the way I'm built and my height. So my next fight is probably going to be a middleweight defense. And I want to stay active and I want to entertain my fans.
And when would you like to make that middleweight defense?
December, January, you know, I'm ready, you know. I just, maybe just a little cut here on my forehead. Besides that, I'm healthy.
Well, you mentioned December. Will you be at your teammate Kamaru Usman's fight in Las Vegas?
Maybe, because there's another kid, you know, Teal might be fighting in December as well. And Teal is like, you know, my boy, and so I have to be cornering him. Henry will be with Kamaru, so.
Okay, yeah, gotta split it up, right?
Yeah, we gotta divide and conquer, so. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, lastly, what would you like to tell all your fans out there?
Hey, thank you guys, man, so much. Just keep watching. I'm hungry. I'm working hard, and I just want to entertain the fans, and thank you so much, guys.
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here in Boston, being joined by UFC featherweight, Mr. Yair Rodriguez. Now, first off, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you get the chance to celebrate it yet?
We kind of celebrated there in Phoenix, but I couldn't eat a lot of
cake
and all that, you know, but one of my coaches, his Friday was the 8th, my father was the 9th, I was the 6th. So I think we're all going to do something after the fight.
Yes, Friday night. I was about to say, that's a lot of cake for you guys.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm hoping right now. These two wakeouts in, you know, less than 2 months is kind of rough, but I'm here ready to fight.
And what flavor, though?
Chocolate.
Oh, that is
yes,
fudge.
Yes.
That's the best. Now I'm getting hungry, but I mean, looking forward to your fight on Friday. Obviously, the outcome, not what you expected in Mexico City. Did you have to change anything at all, you know, preparation-wise, going from 5 rounds to 3?
Yes, I changed it all.
Yeah.
You know, I did all the strategy change, the training change, everything changed, you know. The only thing that I keep, and we actually changed a little too, was the diet.
Okay.
But now it's better,
yeah.
You know, I can eat more carbs and stuff like that, you know, my body is, my metabolism is going fast right now, so I'm burning a lot of calories, and it's been easier for me to go down again in weight.
What about your mindset? What was that like going into Mexico City compared to now going into Boston and knowing what happened between then?
You know, it's a lot of support. But it's kind of a pressure and a responsibility that you have of winning.
Yeah.
Whenever you're facing somebody in your hometown and you are the main card, you're the main event. And this time I'm not the main event.
Yeah.
I'm fighting 3 rounds, so I don't have all that pressure on me right now. So I don't feel that.
Yeah.
And I don't feel any pressure because I think the only one who has any pressure leading this fight is Jeremy. So I'm completely fine.
Now, what about some of the criticism that people have been saying? What do you make of those statements?
I mean, I think they should come and fight. You know, if they think that it's really easy or if they think they know more about stuff, you know, I think they should just become more experts about it.
Yeah.
And then shit happens, things happen. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to say this, you know, I just keep my perspective of things. But I think the only one who's really gonna for always know what really happened up there is Jeremy.
And I mean, the fact that you guys get to kind of run it back on Friday night, but you are coming off a 5-round war, one of, if not the fights of the year last year against Korean Zombie. He has that fight against Brian Ortega scheduled coming up. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I saw Brian Ortega in Mexico City. I talked to him about it, and I asked him how he feels. And, you know, he feels real well. I have seen Korean Zombie fight since I was out of the UFC because it's somebody that I really respect. I watched him fight up against Jose Aldo whenever he was fighting for that title shot. And that's why I wanted to fight him, you know, because I want to fight guys that really take out of the best of me, that competitor inside of me. And I think that the fight is going to be tough for both of them because they're really tough. And, you know, I root for both of them, you know, but I'm rooting more for my
Brian.
I don't know how to say it, like, the country wise.
Oh yeah, it's all good. Regarding Brian, you guys were briefly linked to a fight that never materialized. Would he be someone you'd be interested in fighting in the future?
Yes, but not because it's him. It's just because he's ahead of me on the rankings. You know, when I look at the fighters on my division, mm-hmm. I look first at the number. You know, then I look who is him. You know, because so I'm always trying to fight the number one or obviously the champion. You know, sometimes that can't happen because it's not realistic. You know, you gotta go in there and fight, win your way out up there. You know, but I always try to fight somebody that is ahead of me on the rankings. That's what I was saying leading this last fight, that my first guy on mine was Jeremy Stephens, but now that I have the opportunity to face him, well, let's get this done and then let's see what happens after and move on. You know, I'm just trying to go up and up.
And lastly, speaking of rankings, obviously that title shot, Max against Alex, coming up UFC 245. What are your predictions for that fight?
I think Alexander Polanowski is a really tough opponent. He has a pretty good wrestling. He moves a lot, but I think he has some deficiencies on his striking still. I think he's more of a wrestler and grappler. And I think if Max Holloway can you know, keep him outside in range and just stop his takedowns, you know, don't let him push him too much into the cage so he cannot be controlling, he will be in the fight. If not, the fight will go otherwise.
Yes, well, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck on Friday, and hope that you can celebrate with some cake after.
Thank you. Hopefully, I'm hoping that too.
Helene here with Eyes on the Game here in Boston, being joined by UFC featherweight, Mr. Jeremy Stephens. Now, obviously, big fight for you, but I notice out of your 45 professional fights, this will be your first time here in Boston fighting. How does that feel?
Oh, it feels great. You know, Boston's a rowdy town. It's good. It's good fight town. It's good to be here at this time of year. It's perfect weather, perfect fight weather as well.
And I know that you have mentioned this fight is personal, and you've made that clear. So with that being said, when was the last time you felt this way going into a fight?
Every time.
Yeah, like this personal every time.
Personal, yeah. They're just trying to take food off my family's plate. What do you think? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a fist fight. I think people seem to forget about, you know, this isn't competition. This is an actual fist fight. So yeah. It's like this every time. And that's why I go in with the intensity on putting my opponent out before he puts me out. And that's how I roll.
I noticed something you said in a recent interview that a lot of guys don't want to fight you. And you mentioned Brian Ortega. I know you wanted to fight him all the way back at UFC 226. So was Yair the first one offered to you after your Zabit fight?
Yeah, that's the fight that we got. You know, it was waiting around, and that was it. You know, we've had multiple fights offered about Brian Ortega, so he's out of the question right now. He's got a fight coming up, but you bet your ass if all goes well, come out healthy. You know, I'll be waiting in line for that December fight because I like to slide in on people and knock them out and keep moving up.
What do you think about his fight against Korean Zombie?
I don't really care.
No prediction.
I hope the best for both of them, but I don't care for either of them. They're both on the hit list.
Now, we know you've been working with Tony Ferguson. You've spoken about those midnight runs. What surprised you the most about working with him?
Just how knowledgeable he really is, just how his passion really cares. He puts a lot of passion into his work. He's a tremendous tremendous guy, tremendous father, fighter, teammate. It really shows. And when you go hang out with him, you get that feel for him.
When do you think he'll be making his return?
Hopefully soon. I got a chance. He came down, helped me out a little bit before this fight. So we were talking about it. Hopefully soon. Hopefully I can get that negotiated, and that's the fight to make.
For the title, obviously, against Habib.
For sure.
Now, how do you see that fight playing out?
Stylistically, they're both bad matchup. You know, Khabib's got that one wrestling takedown, but I've rolled with Tony. You know, he's probably one of the strongest guys I've ever felt. He's scrambly, does awkward stuff. Khabib just doesn't have the stand-up to mess with him. It's hard to kind of low pick Ferguson because his footwork is so good. You can't do that like he did to Connor. Connor was able to come out, pressure him, throw some kicks, little push kick, kind of keep him at bay. You're dealing with a different animal when it comes to Ferguson, you know, and Ferguson's not scared of what's his name, Khabib. And I think Ferguson will give it to him.
Do you think right now Khabib is number one pound for pound?
No, he hasn't proven that yet. You know, that you got to look at John Jones and what he's done, the long history of just legends that dude's beat. But he's not the number one pound for pound in my eyes. But Khabib is very good. He's very talented, and he's been dominating, and so is Ferguson. So that's going to be a great fight.
Yes, absolutely. You are ranked number 8th in the featherweight division. Where do you think a win over Yair will put you?
With a lot more money in my bank account.
Possibly a title shot in the future?
Or? I'm only like one or two, three fights away from a title shot always. You know, it's not just when I beat people, it's how I beat them. I beat them in spectacular fashion. I leave them leaking on the canvas. And, I plan to swim in some blood and into my abilities come Friday night here in Boston.
And speaking of title shots, Max Holloway, Alex Volkanovski, what do you think of that fight?
Max, I think he treats him just like he did Frankie.
And lastly, obviously a lot of people love watching your fights. They're always exciting. How do you think it plays out on Friday night?
If he doesn't die, it doesn't count.
Intense. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Is that velvet?
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here in Boston with the former UFC middleweight champion turned light heavyweight, making your light heavyweight debut this weekend, Chris Weidman. Now, first off, how is this camp not having to cut all that weight?
It's been amazing. I feel better than ever. I was always super positive about my weight cuts. We kind of try to enjoy the moment, but not having to do it now, it makes me really realize like how much I was killing myself and how much better I feel just kind of be at a natural weight.
Was your diet mostly the same, or could you eat like a lot more carbs, pasta?
I pretty much ate what I wanted this camp and just kind of toned it down a little bit towards the end. But it just made me feel so healthy. I mean, usually, like I said, I'm just usually beat up a little bit towards the end of the camps. But because I had a little extra meat on my bones, I felt great.
But did you walk around the same weight as when you were cutting down to middleweight? Or did you, get to change that?
I'm a little heavier. My walk around weight was around the same, but training, I'm heavier. You know, I'd probably train around like anywhere from like 207 to 210. For this fight camp, I was more like 215 to 221.
Okay.
Yeah.
But training a bit heavier, I mean, did you notice anything as far as how you felt in there speed-wise or power-wise?
Yeah, I mean, speed-wise, I feel great. Feel just as fast, and I feel like power is definitely up. So I think that's going to be a good thing too.
Now, I noticed something that you said was a win over Dominic. You could potentially fight for that title against John Jones. So when you moved up to light heavyweight, did you talk to the UFC about that at all? Whether John would be kind of guaranteed next or soon?
No, that wasn't. I just kind of needed a fresh start. I was getting, my body was falling apart, from cutting the weight, and I just wanted to, feel healthier. I accomplished all my goals at middleweight. I, became the middleweight champion. I defended it multiple times, and the goal at that weight was to just win it back and do it again, which is kind of like, I was excited about it, but it wasn't killing me inside to accomplish it again. But being up a weight class, especially in a weight class where you got a guy like John Jones, who is known as unbeatable and hasn't really been beat inside the UFC, that gives me that makes me super excited to have that as an opportunity. Because I love that more than anything, to go out there against guys that everyone thinks I can't beat.
But right now, do you foresee John as the number one pound for pound?
You know what? The fact that he's failed drug tests and stuff like that, I think that changes a lot of things. I, I haven't put too much thought into it, but I think anytime you get a guy who's failing drug tests, that's a problem.
Now, Dominic is anticipating you using a lot of wrestling in that fight. How do you foresee it going down this Friday?
The plan is to just drag him into deep water and drown him. That's it. Just, you know, he hasn't really even been on his back. He hasn't really fought wrestlers. And so I'm going to put him in situations where he's really uncomfortable. And it's going to change up his striking game, too. When he's going to have to worry about a lot of things. He's not going to want to get taken down, because if he does, it's going to be a bad, really bad night for him. So everything opens up more when he has to focus on so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, Johnny Walker, Corey Anderson, that fight's coming up. How do you see that fight playing out?
We haven't seen too much from Johnny Walker other than like flying knees and crazy finishes. So I'm hoping Corey could, make that fight last a little long and we get to see a little bit more from Johnny Walker. Corey Anderson's a well-rounded guy, good striking and good cardio and good wrestling. So I'm excited to see that. I'm not sure.
Helen E. here with Eyes on the Game here in Boston, being joined by the undefeated light heavyweight, Mr. Dominic Reyes. Now, obviously, biggest fight of your career headlining this weekend. Now, I know you said that you're planning on Chris doing a lot of wrestling and having to defend a lot of those takedowns, but what are you expecting in terms of him moving up to light heavyweight and his speed and power?
I'm expecting a little bit of a power increase from him. I mean, you put on more weight, you get more power.
Yeah.
But it's going to slow him down. Carrying more weight is something he's not used to.
Yeah.
He might say it's more natural for him, but when you're moving at those high speeds and everything's going fast, it starts wearing on you.
And what about fighting last on the card? This will be your first time in your UFC career fighting last. What do you think about that?
This is actually the first time in my entire career.
Your entire?
Headlining an event. So, yeah. I'm excited. It's a huge milestone in my career, and I'm excited about it.
Now, how have you prepared mentally for that?
Just taking things as they come, being more poised, more composed when I'm out there in the octagon, fighting and training. It's kind of like no matter what happens, I'll figure out an answer. I got 5 rounds to figure it out, so.
Now, aside from the wrestling, how are you expecting the fight to go?
I'm expecting a mid-fight knockout. He's going to wear. He's going to keep trying to take me down and failing. I'm going to break his spirit with stopping his takedowns, and then I'm going to hurt him on the feet and finish him.
Now, he is saying that with the win over you, that may catapult him into that title shot against Jon Jones. What do you make of those comments from him?
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, if you're thinking I'm a guy that's going to get you a title shot, it means I'm somebody that's, legit, that's going to prove that you're worth it in division. Whether he passes me or not, that's to remain to be seen. But if I have anything to say about it, he's not moving on past me.
Now, obviously, in the top of the light heavyweight division, there's, it's pretty stacked up there. With a win over Chris Weidman for you, do you think that you deserve to be next in line for Jon Jones?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing Chris said, where he's fought everybody ahead of me, which is Thiago and Anthony Smith. He's already fought them. This will put me at 6-0 in the division, and logical next step to fight the title for the title.
And a lot of your fans are looking forward to watching you headline your first fight in your MMA career. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
This is the Schmo with the Pro Macy, the future barber, 21 years young, the youngest female fighter on the UFC roster in Boston. How we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
The Schmo cannot complain. You got the toughest test to date, number 15, Miss Robertson, out of American Top Team. What are your expectations Friday evening?
I'm just really excited to just go out there and do my own thing and go out there and finish her.
Finisher. You like to do the finishes. You're strong with the bows.
Who doesn't like to finish?
What have you been doing differently training for this fight than others previously? Because we know you're trying to get better each and every single time you step on the mat.
I don't know if we're doing anything different. Just continuing to evolve. Training hard and yeah.
We've heard you call out opponents, Mackenzie Dern before, but she was pregnant. She couldn't fight you. You wanted to fight a Paige Van Zandt. She didn't want anything to do with you. Why aren't you getting the fights that you're calling out for?
I was calling out Mackenzie Dern before she was even pregnant. That was back when we were in LFA. as far as Paige VanZant goes, she's still ducking me, and I'm still going to keep going for that fight, especially after this one. You know, she has one fight left on her contract, and I get that fight. So why do I want those? Because I want to beat those girls up. You know, I want to expose them and prove that, you know, they're the hype. They're, everyone says I have a lot of hype behind me, but it's real. You know, I go out there, I fight, I finish. And hype is when, you know, you have a big following, but you don't have the fighting capabilities. So I truly believe that they don't have it, and I have what it takes to beat them up.
And you're looking to be the youngest champion in UFC history. Looking at the top of the division, we just saw a big fight over there in Tampa. Michelle Waterson against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. What did you make of that fight?
You know, I was excited to watch that fight. I didn't have a whole lot of expectations leading up to it right away because I was focused on my own fight. But I thought it was a great fight, you know, going all the way to the distance. So, you know, Michelle has a lot of heart, and Joanna was just that much better of a fighter that night.
If you get the result you're looking for Friday evening, is there a name you're looking to call out inside the octagon?
Yeah, I still want Paige VanZant.
You're going to say her name again?
Yeah, I'm going to keep calling her until she decides to fight.
And if she doesn't want to fight you?
Then she'll never fight again.
That's what it's out to be, unless it's a different organization.
No, because she's got one fight left in on the UFC contract.
And you're gunning for her?
Yes, I am.
Making that clear.
Amen.
What about the champ over there in China? She's going to be out here in Boston at these fights. You got a message for her?
Oh, I got a message for all of them. You know, I'm coming for everything that these women are coming after, and I'm just going to prove that I have the better end of it.
Clearly, you have the confidence and the performances when you're going out there and you're winning. What is it about your arsenal that gives you the competitive edge over everyone else in this division?
For one, I have age. You know, I'm 21, so I have years ahead of me, and I'm already this good at 21. How good am I going to be in 2 years? How good am I going to be in 3 years, 4 years? And then, aside from that, I have the skill, I have the mentality, and I'm just mean, you know? Like, deep down, there's this thing inside of me that's like, man, I have a love for the sport, but then I really have this real desire when I'm in there to just go out there and finish and show that I'm the one that's the dominant person.
And training in the Mile High City, does the altitude, you think, give you an advantage over some of these other fighters that don't train in altitude?
When I was in Colorado, yes, but I'm actually now in Milwaukee right now. So I'm at Rufus Sport, and that has just completely elevated my game as well. So couldn't be happier. I'm working with Duke Rufus, the whole Rufus Sport team, Ben Askren, and yeah, I've got a lot of good people in my corner.
How was the Wrestling Academy, the AWA?
I haven't trained with a lot of other people aside from Ben right now. I have my brother Wyatt who trains with me as well. But that facility is huge too. And Ben's amazing. All of his stuff that he's taught me has helped a lot.
We'll get you out of here on this. Your nickname's the future. Let's look into the future. A year from now, where will you be?
I'll just keep pushing forward and Maybe the title, maybe a year and a half, maybe 6 months, we don't know.
Two fights a year, three fights a year, what's the pace?
As many as I can, as long as I still stay healthy.
That's always the goal.
Yes, it is.
She's the pro. Best of luck to you Friday evening. Macy Barber, I'm the Schmo in Beantown. We're out. This is the Schmo with the pro, the Prince of War, Greg Hardy, came prepared, yellow shades, back to back for the Schmo, doing this with fighters and yellow shades. How we doing?
Living large, baby. How you feeling?
We can't complain. You were supposed to be fighting in Singapore a week from now. You got bumped up to this fight. How was the adjustment for you?
It was easy, man. It's all about war. I was super excited. Can't wait to get in there, you know?
Your opponent, Ben Sasoli, you got like 7 inches on this guy. Controversial with the eye poke for him in Dana White's Contender Series. What are you expecting to do to him come Friday evening here in Titletown, USA?
We're talking pain. We're talking aggression, violence for about 5 minutes to 15, whatever he wants. I'm expecting a whole lot of war. That's the forecast, baby.
Well, this is your fourth fight in 2019. You've been a busy guy. You're stopping these guys in the first round. Are you expecting that again?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're not looking for it. We're not looking to go 45 seconds. We're looking to go 15 minutes, a whole lot of danger. But whatever comes, comes, you know?
The last time the Schmo interviewed you was back at ATT a few weeks back, maybe a couple months back. We're talking about where you are as a fighter. How would you assess your grappling today and your evolution as an MMA fighter? Because we know you're growing every day.
I want to be over the top with it, but I can't. I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm still getting there. But you know what? We stop in takedowns. You saw it.
Yeah.
Or punch people in the face. You saw it. It's not going to stop anytime soon.
Give it a grade 1 to 10, 10 being the best. What level are you at right now?
I'd say I'm at a solid 4. We're talking about grappling, right?
Yes.
If you add in the punches, it's like a 7. Without the punches, it's like a 4 right now. But okay. We're still learning, like I said, and I'm dangerous, man.
Speaking of danger, did you catch Jorgen De Castro over in Australia? An underdog in 2 of his fights, impressive win at Contender Series, and then he gets that first round knockout, maybe in a future opponent for you.
You know what? I would look forward to that, man. I like people like that. It's all about the war for me, man. And when somebody comes in with that kind of grit.
Okay. Switching topics, back to ATT. A little bit of drama over there. Kobe Covington saying a lot of stuff. Pisses off Joanna. Obviously, there's beef with Dustin. And obviously, the one-time good friend, Jorge Masvidal. What's it like over there right now?
It's a freaking paradise, man. It's a mecca, you know? What's the number one gym? What's war without a little bit of Kobe chaos? You know what I'm saying?
But is he, like, avoiding those people? Are they avoiding each other at practice times? What's it like?
It's kind of like that Juan Adams situation, man. It's like you can talk trash. You can really do whatever you want. But when you're in a place where they lock the cage, is there really ever a problem?
Nope. So they're all training together?
I mean, we're all in the same building, man. And these are, oh, and you got to think about these guys are professionals, man. We're talking about the Masvidal. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about freaking Dustin Poirier, man, the diamond. These guys' mentals are right, man. They come in, you know, they put the media aside, they put the stuff outside in the world aside, and they go to work, dude. These are the champs.
So no beef.
I wouldn't say there's no beef, and I can't weigh in on it because it's not my situation, but these guys are handling themselves like professionals. Everything at ATT is running smoothly, man. Danger.
Transitioning back to your past, man. Speaking of professionals, Jason Garrett. It seems like everyone's calling for his job. He's been the head coach since 2011. Cool, calm demeanor for Jerry Jones. Why is he able to keep his job so well? He's so long for the Cowboys.
Whew. America's team. Schmo, you got me, dog. I haven't been gotten a long time. I'm a media genius. Jeez. What do you say?
Well, they're 3-3, 500. He's in a lame duck situation. Doesn't have a contract beyond this year. Do you fire the guy? Do you let him play it out? What's the situation going to happen over there?
Let's just say his job is about as important as Stephen A's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We all know you love that guy.
They do about as good of a job as Stephen A does over there, man. You're on the best network. You got all the best people, you know. You get all the viewers. And you still suck. Nah, but all love, man. I think the Cowboys are the best team in the world. And we're still making the Super Bowl. What's up? But I don't think it's going to be with Jason Garrett, man. Jerry Jones is the greatest owner on the planet. So you got to have faith in him, man.
Truth's been said. We'll get you out of here on this. Last message for the Greg Hardy fans out there worldwide.
War.
He's the pro. I'm the Schmo. In Boston, we're out. Thank you, sir.